It's a special time. I remember it as kids. It's a very special time when all of a sudden, me and my, two brothers and one sister, I had to figure that out. But we would all of a sudden get together in our own room, and it was time that we would wrap our presents for our parents. Now, I don't like wrapping presents. I'm a guy. I don't know how you ladies do it, but every time I wrap a present, I wind up with three nice sides, the corners are ripped and torn, and there's this big, massive mound of wrapping paper here that I got to take duct tape to keep it in place and put the bow on top, and there it is. But you know what was fun? Was when the wrapping paper ran out and all you had was a cardboard tube. You remember that? And what did you do with that cardboard tube? Exactly, Jeannie. Right? See that? She knows. You picked up that cardboard tube and all of a sudden you were in the middle of a Christmas wrapping paper tube battle. Right? You remember that? Come on now, everybody has experienced this, right, at one time or another. And it doesn't matter how, well, yeah, there probably should be a disclaimer, no one under five should partake because you're gonna get hurt. But you know, I saw a meme on the computer the other day. And it was these two really elderly people, I mean like 130-year-old ladies, sitting in rocking chairs. And they had wrapping paper tubes. And they're just bonking each over on the head with the wrapping paper tubes. You know, that's what I want. My special, you know, I can't wait for everybody to use up the wrapping paper so that we can have a wrapping paper tube battle. And I think what I'm going to do is after Christmas, I'm going to collect all the wrapping paper tubes. And I'm going to repackage them, and I'm going to remarket them, and I'm going on Shark Tank. Can't you see me on Shark Tank? No, okay. All right. But anyways, but you know what happens? Christmas comes, and then all of a sudden it's gone. And all those little gnomes that you have in your house, they take all those decorations and they go and hide them down in your basement for another year, don't they? And life continues on. And you know, sometimes in life, many times in life, boy, I tell you what, it's easy. It's easy in life to be discouraged. Maybe you're discouraged over circumstances and situations. It's easy to be distressed, isn't it? It's easy to be discontent with where God has you in your life. But I'll tell you this. This verse right here, the message of this verse, is what brings our perspective around to the right place to keep us throughout life no matter what. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It's sad that for most Christians, the only time we look at this verse is for a few weeks in December. For this is the message of the gospel. This is the message of our life. This is the message of our eternity. This is the message, folks. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this morning, as we look at this passage of scriptures, as we look at this one verse, we're going to see three things, but the first thing I want you to notice is this message was given to the shepherds while they were abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the shepherds went and they found Joseph and Mary. They saw the baby and they told them what had been told them. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. But then look down at verse number 20. Verse number 20, because all of a sudden that moment is gone. They heard the message. They went, they found, and they saw the Christ child in the manger. They saw Joseph and Mary. They saw the baby. But that moment passed. And the Bible says they returned. Where did they return to? They returned to their normal life. They returned back to their occupation. They returned back to those smelly sheep up in the field. They returned back to sitting around their campfire and saying, hey, what are we doing for supper tonight? I don't know, let's have some more lamb stew. I'm tired of being a vegetarian and eating cactus. What are we going to do tomorrow? Well, let's have some lamb stew. What are we going to do for excitement? Well, let's have lamb sheep races. I don't know. I mean, they went back to their life, their normal life, but their normal life was not the same. And I want you to notice something down in verse number 20. The shepherds returned, and there was a difference. Doesn't tell us what their attitude was or what they were doing or what they were talking about that night when the angel came to us, but it does tell us the attitude and the activity and the conversation and the demeanor and the perspective of their life once they heard the message and once they knew the reality of the message. It says they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen as it was told unto them. My friend, this morning, listen to me, this morning, this message unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This is the message that will keep your heart fixed on Jesus Christ and give you the right perspective and the right attitude and the right outlook on life, no matter what your life is going through. Because life is going to carry on. December 25th is coming and going. Right after it, there's December 26th. December 26th, you're going to go down that mailbox. You're going to get some bills. December 27th, you're going to have to get up in the morning and go to work. December 28th, you're going to have to go to a doctor's appointment. December 29th, you can say, I'm sick and tired of all this. I think I'll take off for New Year's. And then you have New Year's. And guess what? And then January comes. And your football team is nowhere to be seen. But life is still there, isn't it? And what are you going to do? I tell you what we need to do. We need to keep our eyes fixed on the foundation of our hope. And the focus of our hope. Which is there was born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This morning I want to speak to you 3 points from this simple message, simple yet so life-changing message that was given to these shepherds this day. And first of all, the message was to a group of people. Second of all, the message was about one person. But third, the message was really about the purpose of all of this. And to help me just stay on track this morning, because there's so much here, I'm going to utilize what I've learned in Spanish a little bit. Because in English, there's a verb. I've learned a lot about English, too, that I never knew. We have these things called verbs. Right? Not herbs, verbs. Verbs. And there's a verb in English, which is simply to be. And we use it everything. I am, you are, she is, he is, whatever. It's to be. In Spanish, they have 2 specific different verbs for this word for this verb. And you have to take a lot of time to learn the difference. It's important. There's 2 verbs, ser and estar. And they have different meanings. And you get them mixed up all the time. And when you get them mixed up, it's not good. And so you have to really focus on these 2 verbs. The verb ser has 3 meanings to it, three distinct meanings. Hell, I got to get this right, don't I, now that I said this? It's description. It's used to describe the person. It's used of origin. And it's used of time. The other verb, estar, in this hand, has two meanings, location and condition. Whew. I got through that. And I want to just use that to, in these three parts of the message, just very, well, if I said the word brief, you wouldn't believe me, but very distinctly. You see, because the message, look at verse number 11. The recipients of the message, the people that message was given to, for unto you. Well, who are these group of people? Listen, it was just a group of shepherds. Nothing special about these guys. They weren't high-ranking officials. They weren't sitting in some rich home, palace. They were just like you and me. They were just three guys out there, or three or more guys out there just doing their everyday job to earn their keep, to provide for their families. Simple guys. Isn't that just like you and me? Right? That's us, isn't it? Well, I think, I don't, you know, if there's someone very renowned and you want your attention, now's the time to stand up. No, not me. Please don't. But we're just simple folks, aren't we? Right? We just go about our life. We get up, we go to work, we come home, we pay the bills, we feed our family, we repair the house, we cry because the car broke again. Amen. Right? And on life goes. But let's just stop and think about it. Let's just, description. They're people. They're souls. Origin, created by God. The Bible says man became a living, God breathed into the breath of life and man became a living soul. Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and that my soul knoweth right well. And time, what about time? Well, we know that we are born, we have a birthday, but the Bible says our life is like a vapor. We don't know how much time we have. We're here today, aren't we? And we think we have tomorrow. But the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And that's the word sayer. That's who you are. You're a person. God created you. God created you. You have a life. You have a day when you were born, and you have a certain number of years in your life, and then at some point, Bible says you're going to step off into eternity. But then the other verb is star. Location. Well, where are you? Well, we're right here. This is pretty simple. Pastor, this is easy. You know, we're right here this morning, aren't we? We're right here in this building with the opportunity to hear the Word of God. But we're here. We're here. And we could be any other place, but we're here. Praise God, we're here. Condition. Well, that word condition speaks about physical condition or emotional condition, but you know the one thing we should all be thankful for, that I'm thankful for? We're breathing, right? Hey, everybody take a deep breath and just, wow, do you know that's a gift from God? You know that's a gift from God? And the message, it says, for unto you. And yes, it was given to those three men in particular, but the message really extends down to you and me today, because we are no different than them. No different than them. But more importantly is the person of the message. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And who is this person? Christ the Lord. Oh, his name is Jesus. In verse number 21, after he was born, the Bible says in verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named to the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Before he was born, the angel came to Mary and Joseph and said, when you have this son, you're going to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And his name is Jesus. And it means he shall save. And what a name it is, because there's no other name like that name. No other name above the name of Jesus. But unlike you and me, that name wasn't given to him by his parents. That was given to him by his Father in heaven, God. It's amazing to me how we pick and choose names for our children, isn't it? You know, and all different ways, you know. And by the way, guys, I know that you think you're the king of your house and everything else, but when it comes down to naming the kid, let's face it, mama gets the choice, right? You can say all you want, but when one comes down in that moment to have that baby, and you're standing and seeing all that she went through, you say, hey, you can name that child whatever you want, dear. I'm just glad it was you and not me. Right? But God chose this name for his son. And his name is Jesus. But let's go back to our verbs. Description. Description. We'll turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. For in Hebrews chapter 1, it gives us a description of Jesus Christ our Lord. In Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says this, and while I could go to many places, in Hebrews chapter 1, there's no author to whom this book is attributed, because God wants us to know specifically that it is his words, his picture, his truth about his son, Jesus Christ. And he doesn't want man to get in the way of this. Because, boy, when we get in the way, we sure mess things up. But it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Let's just stop right there. The express image of his person. John would write in the Gospel of John. And he would write, we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus would speak to his disciples in John chapter 14. And one of his disciples would say, show us the Father and it will suffice us. It will satisfy us. And Jesus said to them, if you see me, you've seen my Father. And to describe Jesus Christ, to describe the person of God, for he is God. Holy, righteous, all-powerful, all-knowing, merciful and gracious. We beheld his glory as he was on this earth and saw the person of God in the flesh in Jesus Christ and saw the nature of God appearing before us, gracious and loving and kind and powerful, and all the person of God in Jesus Christ. His origin, well, he's eternal. He's the eternal God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and there was not anything made that was not made. John chapter 17, when Jesus is praying that night in which he's betrayed and would go to the cross, he's praying to his Father, and he says, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the beginning. His origin is he is the eternal Son of God. This moment when, and we could go to the next thing, time. Time. Well, he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending of all things. When we think of time, he entered into our time, if you will, and our space when he came to this world. Then we look at location. When we think of location in regards to the Lord Jesus Christ, we could think of eternity past where he sat in the glory of the Father and had the glory of the Father and was one with the Father. He said to his disciples and to the Pharisees, "Before Abraham was, I am." And then you turn over to Philippians chapter 2 and you see that as time goes by, his location changes. His location changes. And this is so important because this is what the birth of Christ is all about. Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says this. Verse number 5, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." There's his description, his origin. Time, if you will. But then it says this, and this has to do with location. "But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men." That's when he left the glories of heaven. And that's when he came to earth and was born in this manger as a little baby. The King of glory, the creator of the universe, God, became flesh and dwelt among us in one moment of time. Changed his location. Didn't change who he was. Changed his location. And he left heaven to come here. You just stop and think about that. But then what happened? We see as we read through the Gospels that he lived a sinless life in 33 years. He walked upon the face of this earth. And then when we read the end of the Gospels, we see the location change. And all of a sudden we see this child that was born in a manger that grew up with a father and mother named Joseph and Mary and was raised in a carpenter's house. We see him grow up and go through life and minister to people, do miracles, and then all of a sudden we see him in a different place, don't we? We see him suffering on a cross called, in a place called Calvary. And all of a sudden the same person, the Creator, the Holy One, the Eternal God, manifests in the flesh. We see him with arms outstretched, nailed to a cross. We see his feet nailed to a cross. We see a thorn of crowns crushing his head. We see the stripes on his back. We see the sword pierce his side. We see the blood come forth, and we see a Savior suffering and dying upon a cross. And once again, the location changes. We see him in a tomb. Stone rolled in front of it. You see, this is the story of Christ, folks. 3 days and three nights, he's in that tomb. But then we see the location change once again in victory, don't we? And that stone is rolled back. And by the way, that stone was not rolled back so that he could get out. That stone was rolled back so that we could see the tomb was empty. And we could hear the message, "Why seek ye the living amongst the dead? For behold, he is risen." But his location changed again. Because after 40 days on this earth, you read the end of the Gospels, and in the presence of the disciples, he ascended up in the clouds. And he's seated on the right hand of his Father in heaven. And Stephen would say in Acts chapter 7, "I see the heavens opened, and I see Jesus standing on the right hand of God." See the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand. And we look at his location. You know, one more thing. We could look at his condition. And I'll tell you what. That's good. Because the Bible says he's alive. He ever liveth to make intercession for you and me. And this message is about one person. Message given to people just like you and me. But it's about one person, Christ, the one that God would send to accomplish his purpose. The Lord, the one who is victorious over all. The one who went to that cross that he might defeat sin and death and the devil and triumph openly. The one who would pay for our sins in full. The one who would shed his blood and die for you and me, bearing our iniquities, so that the price would be paid, so that God could be just and the justifier of them that would believe in Jesus Christ. And he's alive today. God the Father said to him when he came back to heaven, Son, sit thou on my right hand. And so the message is for people just like you. It's for us, folks. The message is not for people just like you and us. It's for us. Amen. Amen. This message, this verse, that, hey, it's for me. For unto me, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A message that was given thousands of years before, but a message that is so relevant and important and real and alive and true today for you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And his earthly name is Jesus. But his title is Christ. For God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For herein is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. But the message, and he's Lord. He is Lord. Because in Philippians chapter 2, it says he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, whether in heaven or earth or under the earth, and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And the message is about one person. The message is about one person. The message is to you and me, but the message is about Christ the Lord. But there's a purpose in the message. And this is what's so important, the purpose of the message. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. You know, there's so many people out there, folks, that they know the story of Jesus. There's so many people today that as they decorate their house, they'll get a manger scene and they'll put it on some place, and they'll look at that manger scene and they'll look at all the decoration and they'll look and they'll see that little baby in that manger, and they know the story of Jesus Christ. You might ask them and say, what is Christmas all about? And it's about the birth of Jesus. But you see, it's not enough just to know the story of the birth of Christ. What's important is knowing the purpose of the birth of Christ, the message of Christ. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And therein lies the importance of this message, a Savior. A Savior, because when you think of that word Savior, well, it points to Jesus Christ. But it also begs the question, who needs to be saved and what do they need to be saved from? Therein lies the question. A Savior? Well, I know about Jesus Christ and I know the story of Jesus Christ, but a Savior? Well, what's all that about? What's so important about that? Well, it's the difference between life and death. It's the difference between that counts for all eternity. a Savior. One of the things that Israel looked for in the Messiah was a deliverer. Over and over in the Old Testament, in the history of Israel, they knew how many times and places and circumstances God had delivered them. So many times David would say, "He is my deliverer. He is my deliverer in whom I trust." And Paul would write in Romans chapter 11, he says, "Out of Zion, there's come a deliverer." And that word salvation, one of the interesting things about that word salvation means to deliver. Well, deliver from what? And you can ask people, you go up to people and you say, "Has God ever delivered you?" And they'll be quick and rightly, they'll say, "Well, yeah, I remember a time when God delivered me. I was in a car accident and it was terrible and God delivered me from it." Just like Israel, just like the Gospels, there's so many stories in the Bible where we can see the physical and the circumstantial deliverance of God by His power in the lives of people and nations. How many times over the course of history has God delivered one group of people called Israel? Over and over and over and over again, and He will continue to. How many times in the Gospels, in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, do we read of Jesus Christ walking up the streets and villages and towns and communities and coming across a person in dire need of being delivered from something? A disease or an infirmity or a frailty of the flesh, and Jesus Christ puts His hand upon the leper and says, "Be thou clean," and he's clean, and he's delivered from leprosy. He reaches down and raises a little girl up from the bed that is nigh unto death, and she's delivered from her sickness. And time again, over 42 times in the New Testament, there are miracles done by Jesus Christ that speaks about deliverance. The disciples are in a boat in the midst of the storm, and Jesus Christ stands up and says, "Peace, be still," and they're delivered from the midst of that storm. But the deliverance in Luke chapter 2 goes much further than a physical deliverance that you and I have ever experienced. Oh, we're thankful, so thankful for the grace of God and the mercy of God as He delivers us over and over and over again from things in this life right now. But if all we see is a physical deliverance and a circumstantial deliverance and a deliverance from situations that trouble us in this life, we've missed the message. Because that's not what the message is all about. The message is deliverance from the greatest thing. Number one, your sin. Number one, your sin. Because in Luke chapter 1, verse number 77, it says to give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins. And Jesus Christ came and lived and died so that He could deliver you from your sin. But that begs another question. Why is it so important to be delivered from my sin? So that we'd be delivered from the greatest thing we could ever face, the wrath of God. The wrath of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, as Paul writes about the testimony of the people at Thessalonica and speaks of their faith and speaks of their love for the Lord and speaks of how they turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. And then he says this, and to wait for His Son from heaven, which has delivered us from the wrath to come. Because you see, the purpose of the message goes back to those two verbs, You see, when we really go back, and we go back to a description of ourselves, the Bible says there's none good, there's none righteous. Because the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible speaks about origin. The Bible says, in sin did my mother conceive me. When it speaks about time, it says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. When it speaks about location, we're here right now, but where are you going to be when you step off into eternity? The Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, it says, person's going to stand before God. The book's going to be open. They're going to be judged out of the books of life. And everything you've done is going to be brought forth. And if your name isn't found written in the Lamb's book of life, the Bible says you're going to be cast in a lake of fire. John the Baptist, when he came to prepare the way of the Lord, he would speak a fiery message. And he would speak to the Pharisees and the scribes, the ones that thought that they were, of all people, okay in the sight of God, before God. I mean, they're Pharisees. They're the religious, the ones that, if you looked at their life, well, certainly they've got to be right with God. The scribes, they're the ones that knew the Word of God, that copied the Word of God. Yet John the Baptist would stand up before them and he'd say, who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come? Jesus in John chapter 3, as he speaks to Nicodemus and speaks a wonderful truth about being born again, and he says, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. And then you read the rest of the John chapter 3, and we come down to that beautiful verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not in his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But you come down to the end of that chapter, in chapter 3 and verse 36, and it says something very arresting, something very challenging, which ought to challenge every one of us to really think about my condition right now. Where do I stand right now before God? For the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And folks, it all comes down to this. There's a message that is given. It's given to you. It's given to me, just as it was given to those shepherds that night. It's a message about a person, one person, Jesus Christ the Lord, the eternal Son of God, who came to this earth and gave his life on the cross of Calvary for you and me, and died for you and me, bore our sins upon himself, took our place on that cross so that we could be delivered. So that we could be delivered from the judgment and the eternal wrath of God and not be cast in a lake of fire. But you see, it comes back to this. Where are we right now? Right here. And the first thing every one of us ought to be thankful for is that I am alive and breathing. And right now, I still have an opportunity.
That's right.
Because in verse number 36, it says this. If you've taken advantage of that opportunity and you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you don't have to fear the judgment of God.
Amen.
You don't have to tremble at the thought of the wrath of God. Because the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But on the other hand, the Bible says this. If you're here this morning without Christ and you have never yet placed your faith in Jesus Christ, it says right now, the wrath of God abideth on you. And you're one breath away from standing before the judgment of God and being cast in a lake of fire. And that's why this message is so important, folks. That's why this message is so important. That's why this message, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, is not just for this moment. It's not just for this season. It's just not for the month of December, but it's for January and February, March and April and May and June, July, August, September, October, November. It's for the whole year. And this message, when you come right down to it, this message, listen, I know our lives are different. We've all got our struggles. We've all got our challenges. Your pastor's going through some challenges right now that, tell you what, it gets me discouraged. I'll be honest, gets me discouraged. It gets me frustrated. But I tell you what, I thank God that He's given me the breath right now to preach. Amen? Amen. That's a miracle. But I'll tell you what, no matter how discouraged I get, no matter how distressed I get, no matter how disappointed, no matter how the words start with D-I-S, go back to this one thing, that I know one thing, that I have believed on the name of the Son of God, and He has given me eternal life, and nothing can ever change that. And that's what keeps me focused. Because you know what? Life keeps rolling along, doesn't it? Up and down and all around. And if you're saved today, do us well to wake up every morning and just read that verse. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, my Savior, my Savior. Not just a Savior, He's my Savior because He saved me from my sin. And He is Christ, He is the one that God sent for me. And His name is Jesus, and I love that name. And He is Lord. He is over all, and He's in control of all. And He's seated on the right hand of God. When I look up into the heavens, no, I don't see the heavens open with my physical eyes, but through the Word of God, I see the heavens open. I see the glory of God, and I see my Savior, Jesus Christ, standing on the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for me. And that's where my focus is every day. That's where I go back to every day. That I have a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. But my plea to someone here this morning is this. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're condemned already, just awaiting that moment when you'll stand before God. What a fearful thing it is. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God without Christ. And I would encourage you, I would beg you, I would challenge you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning. Because for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He wants to save you from your sins. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for thy word. Lord, we thank you for the precious word of God. Oh, Lord, what a glorious message it is that unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, personal, powerful, pure and holy, a Savior to deliver us from our sins and spare us the wrath of God, eternity in hell, also that we might live in the presence of God throughout all eternity. Lord, I pray this morning that it would stir the hearts of your people to just be thankful for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. Oh, take away the discontentment, the discouragement, the distress as we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But Lord, I pray. Oh, dear God, I pray if there's someone here without Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, convict their heart. Have them turn to you this morning. Place their faith in you this morning. Let today be the day of their salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.